Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Tomorrow, the 12th of June, is World Day Against Child Labour. Now, in 2019, July of 2019, the United Nations General Assembly had unanimously adopted a resolution declaring the year 2021 as the International Year for the Elimination of Child Labour, with the goal of ending all forms of child labour by 2025. But are we still on track for that? And are the setbacks that we've suffered from the pandemic irreversible? So over the next 30 minutes, we're going to be discussing a new report by the International Labour Organization and UNICEF, which warns that the number of working children has risen to 160 million worldwide, with millions more at risk due to the impacts of COVID-19. Bharati Phlug is joining us on the show now. She's a senior specialist for the Fundamental Principles and Rights at Work at the ILO. Good evening, Bharati. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Now, reports cite that 160 million children in child labour had actually marked a reversal in terms of a downward trend that we've been seeing in the pre-pandemic years. I'm wondering, maybe you can begin our conversation tonight by helping us understand a little bit more about the context of these recent numbers.
Yes, thank you very much, and thanks a lot for having the ILO on the panel tonight, and good evening from here from Bangkok. I thought perhaps what I could start with is to give a little bit of a context of what it is when we talk about child labour. Because not all work, and I think this is important, not all work that is done by children should be classified as child labour that is to be targeted for elimination. So, you know, children's or adolescents' participation in work that does not affect their health or their personal development or their schooling is generally regarded as something quite positive. And so this includes activities such as helping their parents at home or earning pocket money outside of school hours and during school holidays. And we do strongly believe in the fact that these kinds of activities actually contribute to a child's development and to the welfare of their families. And it does provide them with skills and experiences that help them to be productive members of society during their life. So we're not talking about that kind of work that children might be doing. So the term child labor really refers to work that deprives children of their childhood and that is harmful to physical and mental development of a child. So it is really work that is mentally, physically, socially, and morally dangerous and harmful to children, and work that interferes with their schooling. And in terms of interfering with schooling, and this is also especially in light of the pandemic, of course, it can be work that deprives them of the opportunity to go to school at all, but it can also be work that makes them drop out prematurely, or work that is being combined with school, but children who go to school and still carry out very heavy work or excessively long hours of work. And Bharati, so whether some...
Bharati, you can help us understand, has there been an evolution and understanding of what child labour is and where the lines are, as it were, in terms of what is acceptable and unacceptable, and how that is linked to our understanding of how societies also develop economically and what's made available to different societies at different levels of development in terms of what children can be expected to enjoy in terms of fundamental rights?
I mean, I think children have a right to education and children have a right to be free from child labour, and that is really universal. And I think that is important to remember, that it doesn't really depend on the development stage of a country when we talk about the rights of children or the rights of a child to be free from child labour. And actually, if we look at the ILO Convention 182, which is the Worst Forms of Child Labour Convention, this is the only universally ratified convention that exists in the world as of last year, all 187 member states of the ILO have ratified this convention, which means that all the member states of the ILO agree on the fact that children should be protected from the worst forms of child labor. So I think there is agreement the world over, and I think child labor is one of those issues where we have found that countries all over the world and in all the regions have really come to an agreement that this is something that needs to be eliminated. It's also within the context of the Sustainable Development Goals, where we, of course, have Target 8.7, which calls for the elimination of all forms of child labor by 2025. And this is something that the global community agreed on, that all countries have signed up to. And of course, if you look at that target with 2025, that's around the corner.
Right.
Know, we're talking
definitely.
About 4 years. And as you mentioned earlier on, we're talking about 160 million children who are now in child labor.
Right.
So we have an enormous task ahead of us.
So can I ask you on that point then, you know, given that there is this ambitious goal and, you know, important goal in just for less than 4 years, how do we get back on track? Because again, before the pandemic, it seemed like there was this downward trend. We kept seeing
yes.
child labor, you know, decline, the rates of child labor decline, but yet now there's been a reversal the first time in 20 years. How
yes.
are we going to get back on track? Is it possible to reverse the damage that's been done?
Yeah. So I must admit, when those global estimates were released yesterday, it came as a shock, to many of us who've spent many, many years of our working lives on the issue of child labor. This makes very, very somber reading. And as you rightly say, it's the first time in 20 years that we cannot report a figure that shows a downward trend. And as you know, the ILO publishes these global estimates every 4 years. So from 2000 until 2016, we were able to report quite a significant decrease from 246 million to 152 million in 2016. And that was really progress that was being made at that rate still would not have allowed us to reach SDG target 8.7 in 2025. So already in 2016, we were saying if we continue at this rate, we will still have 122 million children in child labor in 2025. And now that has been reversed. So we're looking at 160 million. We're also looking at what I would like to highlight here is actually that the 160 million do not yet take into consideration the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Marathi,
so the
106.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Could you explain to the children find themselves in what you call or what is understood to be the worst forms of child labor? Is it a lack of enforcement? Are these just bad labor, practices that have been there for millennia that just can't be gotten rid of? What exactly is the reason these children are trapped within these systems?
If we talk about the worst forms of child labor, these are very specific forms of child labor. So we're talking about all forms of slavery, the sale and trafficking of children. We're talking about using children for prostitution or illicit activities. But I think the important part of the worst forms of child labor that we talk about is this general group that we call hazardous work, which is work that, considering the nature and the circumstances that it's carried out under, is likely to harm the health, safety, or morals of children. And that's really where the large majority of children are. Almost half of the 160 million children are in the hazardous work or in hazardous forms of child labor. And this is a difficult area for countries to deal with. I mean, I would like to say that most countries, especially in the Asia-Pacific region, I think all the countries here have or are in the process of developing national action plans on the elimination of child labor. So it is very important at country level to have a national legal framework that is in line with the international conventions and with international labor standards in terms of child labor and the elimination of child labor. So we have a convention that looks at the minimum age for child labor. Most countries have ratified that in this region, also in at least in Southeast Asia, which clearly says per country, this is the minimum age for a child to work. Now, internationally speaking, we've all agreed on the fact that a child is anybody under 18. In many countries, the minimum age of work is 14 or 15 or 16. So when we look at hazardous work, it's those children also, besides the very young children, but it's those who are actually above the minimum age, but are still working in conditions that are considered to be hazardous. So we're looking at, for example, children who work in mining, children who work underwater or at night and who work at specific heights in construction, for example, if they're at working at a specific height. We're looking at children who work excessively long hours during the day, and children who are perhaps also exposed to chemicals or pesticides and so on. So in the larger picture, if we look at what is needed to, if at all we can, you know, look at issues that might be needed to, in order to reverse this upward trend, what we're really looking for is an increased investment in public services. You know, we need increased investment and in social protection, for example. We've seen that particularly during the pandemic, where there are no social protection systems, there's no social protection floors, families are left to fend for themselves. And the first thing that a family will do is to pull children out of school, and put them to work to contribute to the family income. Now, that in a way was made even easier during the pandemic with schools closed. And we are really concerned that the huge number of children who have been without schooling and without education for over a year now, many of them will not come back to education. They will stay in work.
Yeah, that is a very serious concern, and I think one that we all share. Thank you so much, Varathy, for joining us on the show tonight. That was Varathy Fluk, Senior Specialist for the ILO. After this, we're going to come back and perhaps look at the more local context, child labour from a Malaysian perspective. Stay tuned to consider this.